John chapter 15. I'm going to share something with you, and I'm probably, you're going to hear it as much as you did Psalm 119, 105. Because that's the only way I know to do it, is to put it long term in our hearts and our minds, is to keep shooting it at you till you start receiving it. And I'll be truthful, I'm probably more thicker skull than any of you here, and I guarantee you I've had to hear it 10 times more or 100 times more than all you probably needed altogether. So I am including myself worse than anybody here. I am chief among hardheads. Well, Brother Fields, he might be up here close with me somewhere. He's got a pretty good hard head too. But turn to John chapter 15. I'm going to read a verse here. Who's going to read for me this morning? I need a reader. Yes, Elizabeth, thank you very much. Stand up and read to me this morning. John chapter 15 and verse 16. Stand up and read good and loud. We can all hear it. Thank you very much. Huh? I can't hear you. Just read 16. Who's speaking? Who's speaking? Who? Jesus is speaking. Yes. Now read. Thank you very much. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Who's he talking to? Who's a disciple? A follower of Christ. So are you a follower of Christ? This verse applies to you, to me. Just read it again together. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Listen, and ordained you. He's just not chosen you. He's ordained you to do what? That what? That ye should go and bring forth fruit. And that's what we've been teaching about, that we learn to bear fruit. Of course, we took off last week at the beginning, where it said, Paul was preaching, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Who can tell me what meet means? Appropriate, suitable meat for repentance. In other words, bring something suitable or that would meet the requirement for repentance. So what are things in our lives that would meet that requirement? I remember when I got saved, I repented of a lot of things. I had a lot of garbage in my life. Sharon spoke last week and she goes, your speech. A lot of things I spoke was garbage. A lot of my language is just uncalled for. And I realized, and as I was saved, it was like, the Holy Ghost had a hold of me. He was catching me all the time. But by the fruit of my lips, it was, I could bring dishonor to Him. And if there's fruits meet for repentance that's suitable, that's good enough for repentance, that means there's fruits that are bad fruits. Let's look at another verse here. Paul said in Acts 26, just for sake of time, I'll read this. In verse 20, he said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Boy, don't that sound like the last? See how that last Sunday school lessons of thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that light we're walking on a path of light to bring forth fruit in our life. So once you learn to walk in that light, walk in where God's at, and if God's beside you, is it you bearing the fruit? He's getting fruit out of you. It's like that plant outside, them flowers can't do nothing sitting in that ground by themselves until God shines on them. Then they've got a glorious, beautiful flower. The blooms and the trees and the peach trees, the apple trees, they all blooming out. But if they have no sun, if you stuck them in a closet, what will happen to them? They just die. They wither up. Leaves start falling off. They start to die. What will happen to you if you get out of church and get out of God's Word? You'll start to wither up and die on the vine. So, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among which are sanctified by faith is in me. Whereupon, O king, and he's talking to King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So it's something that we didn't just see from Christ. We've seen it from Paul too, that he said bring fruits meet or works meet for repentance. Did you catch that? That God's design is having you to bear fruit for Him. And then we've seen in Matthew chapter 7 last week, just real quick review. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing in chapter 7 verse 15. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. We'll know them too. We can see who they are by what's on their tree. What's blooming out of their mouth? What are they talking about? You'll know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast in the fire. Boy, that's scary, isn't it? If you're not bearing fruit and God gets, whew, that's scary, ain't it? That's what it said. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So there's times, so how can you tell someone's a Christian? Their speech, their life. No, well, that's another one. That's good. That's good, brother. Yeah, what do you look at? You know, I've said this last week. I said, I can be around someone 5 minutes and not know what's on your heart. Because the Bible says, for the abundance of the heart, what's in here? The mouth, what? It speaks. What's inside you will come out of your mouth. And that's a good way to find out where somebody's heart's at, because they're going to tell you. And the verse I was just getting into was in Matthew. Turn to Matthew. And of course, we had Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, which, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works. And you hear what Paul just said? Good works meet for repentance. I'm hoping I'm tying this together. I'm trying. God help me. So we see here in chapter 6 in Matthew, look at verse 19. Read with me as we read down through 19 down. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now I'm going to stop here for a second. Now through the missionary conference, we've seen how the missionaries going across the field, and we, by our faith promise to them, help them get to where they're going, that the fruit that they get across the field, we get to play a part in that because we supported them. So there is fruits in eternity that were waiting for us also. That's another part of fruits in our lives that's waiting on the other side that we get a part of that. Ain't that something? Just because you supported the right things here, that in eternity, when we stand there, you'll think all these missionaries are going before the Lord, they're going to say, you folks that give, wasn't that going to be something? That you played a part in what they're doing over there. That's just phenomenal. So look again. Verse 20, But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now next week you're going to be seeing a big heart here in front of everybody, and you're going to be looking at it. And that's going to be your heart. And I'm going to give you an illustration how easy it is. You can start your day off good, start it in God's Word, start it on your knees, and by noontime comes, your mind's done turned to mush. I mean, we're so prone to wander, our minds just turn to mush quick. And but then you realize we had an example of our Lord, which He prayed when? Wee hours before daylight. So He started off with prayer, and He prayed at noon and evening. David prayed morning, noon, and evening. Daniel prayed morning, noon, and evening. There's a principle there, and I believe it's because of the flesh. Because they can start off good, but it don't take very long till you're mad, or you smash your thumb, or something don't go right, or ball joint in a truck goes out, and someone's supposed to just fix the thing, you know, and you're... But we wouldn't do that, though, would we? But we're flesh. We're so prone to just... And what I want us to see is how we can kind of lasso ourselves and bring our minds in subjection to the things of God. So when we feel that rise up in us and feel that anger or feel that frustration or feel that that disappointment or that envy or the worst one of all, covetousness. We'll just see something someone else got and we'll want it. And our mind is mush just that fast. And our things are off heavenly things. Our minds is off godly things. And to bring us in a place, especially being at workplace, you're the same thing. You're walking with the Lord and trying to do right, and something happens and you're upset. Why'd they do that for? But if they do it this way, just listen to me. I know if they listen to me, Lord, it'd be better. Because it probably would be too. But it's real easy to get ourselves in envy and all them fruits of the flesh, and that's what we're going to get into. Of all the things that grieve the Spirit of God, that hinder us from bearing fruit. Because we need to bear good fruit that somebody sees and wants. So we see here. So where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Same place. So what matters to you, that's where your heart's at. If it's on a fishing bank with a fishing pole in your hand, I can be sitting in church and be fishing somewhere at the same time. And God sees every bit of it. But we're here in God's house right now. We're trying to get our minds focused on the things of God. Deer season comes on. I'm reading my Bible and I'm seeing bucks run across my page. And I'm going, wait a minute. I'm trying to read God's Word here and I'm bolting one in my gun. I said, man, I'm trying. There's that flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Just look, turn to Galatians. Galatians. We'll probably end there at Galatians today, but let's turn to Galatians and get this point across. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And all these things that, and then we'll tie, Lord, by God's grace and His help, we'll tie all this together. And we'll do it enough because I need this as much as you need it. I mean, it don't take much to have a bad day, have a headache or your back's hurting and somebody do something you just fixed or you, and they come in and wipe it out right in front of you, and they got an attitude like, they just don't care. And then that kind of roused me a little bit. And then if I'm watching, I'm acting as bad as they are. I'm just as guilty as they are because I allowed them to find my goat. So we need to do what? Hide your goat better. Don't let them find it. Pin him up. Put him in a closet. Lock the door. Don't let him out. Hide the goat. Don't let him get it. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 16. Now this is going to be another one you're going to hear an awful lot of too. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall maybe fulfill the lust of the flesh. What did it say? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's a way that we can do right. If we're walking in the Spirit of God, there is a way. And Paul is trying to help this dear church out, and he's trying to help us out to find that out. Now real quickly, let's read through these. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. There's a battle going on, ain't there? Though you walk in the flesh, you do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That help you. So the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But, verse 18, if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he says, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and of such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So there's a principle about a Christian. If he's a Christian, these things, and we're going to narrow these down. I ain't going to try to pronounce the Greek words in it, but I'm going to give you the definitions of them to help us understand. Because we see all the big ones, adultery, fornication, all them, bad, those are easy ones. We'll look at the other ones, because these other ones deal with envyings, which is covetousness, wantingness. You're not content with such things as you have, and those things pull you away and allow the flesh to rise up. I remember being a boy, they had the Ward's catalog and the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Come Christmas time, where was he at bending pages? Circling this, circling that. Boy, that covetousness was, I want more. I want it now. But if we're walking in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So this is what we want to deal with. I got like 3 minutes here, so. In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So that seems pretty simple, don't it? It's a lot simpler saying it than it is doing it. But I believe if you take the principles of the three times a day of prayer, of submitting yourself to God, or when you feel the ugly flesh rising up doing something it don't want to do, and bringing it down to where it needs to be, and recognizing it. How many times you've been mad and you just went, and you was going to say something, but you didn't. God done seen it, but you didn't say it, but you was going to. Somebody says, well, you might as well said it, but I didn't say it. It's better off. God seen it, but nobody else did. Hallelujah. I'd just soon not have said it at all. Or even thought it. At least it stopped at the gate. I was aware of it and stopped it before it come on out. Because once you pull the trigger, you can't get that bullet back. She's done went out the barrel. You fire that 30-06, there ain't no catching that bullet, is there? Huh? Our speech is the same way. Once it shoots out, there's no stopping. All right, let's pray. Father, to God, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your word. Help us, Lord, to meditate on these things. And I believe that's a key to us all together as we meditate. Put these things down in our hearts. We chew on them and rest in them, dear God. That they become a way of life unto us. They become a way of our thinking. That we may bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. Lord, that we be examples for you, that you be glorified. Lord, that's what it's all about. Lord, help us, I pray. Bless the service now to come, dear God. Have your will and way. Preach the preacher. Sing the singers, dear God. Lord, we just ask you to have your will and way. Help us, dear God. We ask you to come. Show up. Show up and show out, dear God. Have your will and way in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.